What's going on, Bears fans? As you know, sports betting season is in full force right now, which means you need a sports book with integrity and longevity like BetUS. BetUS have been pioneers in the sportsbook industry for nearly three decades, thriving and paying you, the loyal customer. What's great about BetUS is they have loads of bonuses. So join now at BetUS.com today and receive a 125% sign up bonus by using code Chicago125. BetUS has all your NFL games with team and player props and loads of NFL futures and odds. BetUS gives you options in addition to the NFL. You have college football games, PGA golf, UFC matches, the NBA, and plenty of other sports. They have every bet type imaginable, and the BetUS mobile platform is easy to use with full betting options. Follow my lead and get your phone, online, and social sports betting partner with integrity and longevity like I did. Cash in on your 125% sign-up bonus at BetUS.com with our code Chicago125. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS.
You're listening to the Chicago Audible Podcast, changing up the way Bears fans stay up to date on their favorite team since 2015. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down.
What's up, Bears fans, and welcome to another episode of the Chicago Audible Podcast. I'm your host, Nicholas Moriano, on this cold Thursday night. And if you're watching this podcast, obviously you can see I'm not alone, and I'm joined by the one and only Mason West. Mason, what's going on, my man?
It's been a little while. It was nice rest. It was kind of cool sitting back watching some football last Sunday and not stressing about the Bears and what the progress looks like and everything like that, and just enjoying watching the game again for a while. But it's nice again to get back on the horse. Part of me almost wishes that the Bears had played last week, because, you know, build on the momentum, which is weird. Coming off a loss, that you could say that there was momentum. But it's good to be back. You know, wish it was a little warmer out. Got a automatic car starter installed last week, so I'm pumped about that. I've been using it like crazy the last 3 days. And so, you know, no more cold car for me.
Mason, I just got a car starter put in on Monday, actually. Yeah. So I just got a new car and had to put that's like a must have, especially now that the weather has turned and, you know, you wake up, you see your breath in the morning, and there's frost on the windows. Put on the remote start, and it's a life changer, man. Like, I get huge up and go to the gym because I know that I can start my car and not have to go out there. But I know exactly that feeling, and I'm sure a bunch of our listeners do as well. But for those wondering, where the heck is Will DeWitt? Well, like Matt Nagy a couple of weeks ago, I can't tell you or disclose that information, but as many of you know, he and his wife were expecting a baby. And earlier this week, the Will DeWitt family added a new member to the team. So, and I'm not going to get into all the specifics, but everything is going well for Will and his family. It's an exciting time. So that's kind of the status update on Will and where he's at. But, you know, if you want to shoot him a message on social media, I'm sure he'll appreciate that. But what also is exciting is that we do get some Bears football back after a week hiatus. And, you know, Mason, I kind of want to touch on what you mentioned earlier, like that momentum, even though the Bears had lost, the offense seemed to have found something in that second half against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Justin Fields was making some special plays, but I completely agree with you. I kind of wanted the Bears to play last week just to see if they could build off of that. And I'll just kind of put the stats out there. The Bears haven't won coming off a bye week since 2013. So it's not just a streak that is gone on through the Matt Nagy era. This is like something where the Bears have consistently struggled with. And it was 2013 against the Green Bay Packers. I believe Josh McCown was the quarterback in that game. So it's been a while, and now we're in this situation right now where the Bears are coming off a bye week, and they obviously will face the Baltimore Ravens, and that's what this show is going to be about. But before we get into this preview matchup, just want to touch on a couple of topics that have been going on around the Bears. I think we'll start with number one, Tevin Jenkins being activated in terms of that 21-day window to see where his status is at in terms of playing this year. Mason, what do you make of maybe Tevin Jenkins being activated, and kind of where are you thinking he's going to play at? I know there's been like speculative, where he can even play, left tackle, right tackle, but just what are your thoughts on Tevin Jenkins right now?
It's exciting. You know, it's one of those things you can't help but be excited about that prospect. And because this was the Bears' second round pick, it was a player that was projected to go to the Bears in the first round. We got pumped up by all the highlights of him in college mauling, you know, defensive linemen and linebackers. And then they got taken away from us, unfortunately, with that injury. And if you recall, we talked about a couple different times. I highlighted what that recovery process looked like, and he's falling smack dab in the middle of that. Reports were, Nagy had said in a press conference, Jenkins wanted to come back sooner. The Bears were just like, no, let's hold up, let's get you right. You see all these different, he's doing rehab before the Steelers game. You see people tweeting out videos and what he's doing there. But, this week was the first time he legit put pads on and in theory hit somebody since the summer. So, Bears fans, you got to slow your roll a little bit. And not just that in terms of where he's at in the recovery process, because, who knows how long it takes you to get calloused. Every person's a little different. So, obviously I can put my therapist spin on it, but it's hard without seeing him specifically. But ultimately, like you said, where does he go? Because this is so multi-layered in terms of bringing him in. And actually, I pulled a couple of scenarios I saw, that I thought of, that people on Twitter were throwing out there. And I kind of wanted your perspective on each one individually and whether they would go with this. So, for example, one of the most common ones I saw was just take out Jason Peters and throw Jenkins in at left tackle. What are your thoughts on that?
So I think you have to also weigh what you're thinking for Justin Fields too, because you're just throwing Tevin Jenkins in there, a guy that, like you said, has not played football in pads for a long time, still needs to get calloused, still needs to get acclimated to his teammates. And now you want him to be, the blind side protector for your franchise quarterback. So that's an interesting one that I've heard, obviously, but it's one where you have to debate, well, is this the best case scenario for Justin Fields as well? Not just for Tevin Jenkins.
I have the exact same thing written down here, Nick, because it's really more about Justin. Because I get, do you really want the first time that you're having Jenkins out there, ball snapped, and all of a sudden Justin's blind, so he gets just smacked? Like, no, that's awful. And the same thing, even the second one, I even saw out there, take out Borum, put Jenkins in there. It's kind of the same thing. Like, why run him out there, rush him out there without, knowing and getting Jenkins some reps? Another one I saw, put Jenkins in at guard and move Daniels or Whitehair to center, take out Mustafer.
That's, it's like we're playing this carousel of moving guys, and that's what the Bears have done consistently. It seems like every offseason with Cody Whitehair, James Daniels, always moving people around, and they already are thinking, Tevin Jenkins from right tackle to left tackle, and then you're going to make him play another position potentially. I don't know about that one, but it's a fine line, Mason. It's like, how do they get this guy reps if he is going to actually play the season, but do so in a way that gives him, I guess, the reps to make progress in becoming an NFL player, but also you're being cognizant and aware of Justin Fields. So I'm so glad I don't make those decisions, because that's a tough one for what the Bears need to do.
Yeah. And are we forgetting too, Whitehair struggled with snapping. That's why he ultimately got moved from center. Daniels struggled, it seemed like, with communication, calling out the assignments, just a really reserved guy that maybe wasn't the leader and on the line that they wanted to be, also had some snapping issues there. Also saw some scenarios where they were like, well, move Peters to guard, because that's actually what the Eagles had resigned him to do until they had injury issues, and he moved back out to tackle, which is kind of the same thing. But to go to what you said, the other two scenarios I saw that connected with me more was, well, A, split reps with Peters at tackle, just kind of have a little bit of rotation here and there, dabble. And the one I really liked personally is essentially have him play that swing tackle role. So bring him in every once in a while, right? Like what they were doing with Alex Bars, have him get some contact, let him hit a couple people. And that way it's not necessarily affecting the integrity of the entirety of the line. And then you could, slowly get him in there. Because at the end of the day, also, Peters has been doing solid. He's grading out well. So your problems haven't heavily been off the edges in the most recent games. Obviously, we can go back to like the Cleveland game and have a whole totally different conversation, but that was weeks ago. So yeah, it's, I'm glad I'm not making these decisions. You have to look at long-term for not just the Bears, but for Justin, but for Tevin himself, all these different factors. And it's not just about this year. I'll leave it at that.
No, that's a good point. It's not about this year, but I like the swing tackle. I want to see Tevin Jenkins. I forgot what game it was where at Oklahoma State where he literally just put the guy in the side. I think it was versus Texas, if I'm not mistaken, if it was that game where he put the defender into the sideline and just drove him to the dirt. Like, we want to see that mauler out of Tevin Jenkins at some point. If it's not this season, of course, next season, but man, it would be nice to see. So there are some other topics that we can hit on before we get into, talking about this Ravens matchup on Sunday. And just quickly, just kind of going through the injury report for Thursday, just quickly going through it. We have Jimmy Graham, a full participant. Keem Hicks, DNP, did not practice. Eddie Jackson was limited. We have Khalil Mack, Allen Robinson, Dane Trevathan, Elijah Wilkinson, all did not practice. You got eliminated from Darnell Mooney. And then full is for Alec Ogletree, Damian Williams, JP Holtz, and Cairo Santos. That's, you know, what was Cairo Santos is on there with an elbow. That's right. I remember seeing that earlier in the week. Out of those, I mean, I think there's an obvious one though, Mason, but out of those, which one is the most concerning to not have maybe play on Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens? I think I know where you're potentially going with this.
See, I'm torn because I almost have two answers depending on what you're looking for. If you're looking for a literally impact against the Ravens, like just to win that game, for me, ultimately ends up being a Khalil Mack. And we'll get into this more in terms of what that pressure and why that's going to be important for Lamar Jackson. If you're talking about continuing the development of a Justin Fields, for me, it's an Allen Robinson. Because even though I don't personally think Allen's going to be here next year, it's still important for Justin to be throwing to starting caliber wide receivers, right? Because if Allen Robinson isn't going, now where are you going with that? Are you going to pull somebody up like a Rodney Adams from the practice squad, which I know some Bears fans have been clamoring for? You don't have Rashad Perriman anymore, so you can't even try him out there. So if you're looking, I just really want to keep seeing Justin progress and do better, which that's why Allen's big for me. But honestly, Khalil Mack would be, if you could insert one of those non-participants just into the game and say, hey, and you're at even just 80%, I think would have the biggest impact overall on the game.
And I agree with that, Mason. Obviously, you know, the more pressure, the better they can get on Lamar Jackson. And like you said, we will talk about that. Now to kind of get on the more, I guess, the most recent news as of, what, maybe a couple of minutes ago, not too long ago, the Bears signed Bruce Irvin. Last time he played was last season, week 2 for the Seahawks. He did tear, I believe he tore his ACL, was put on injured reserve. And I think that's an indicator of where, potentially where Khalil Mack is at in terms of his recovery. So you bring in a veteran type of guy. Do you like the move? Does it do anything for you, Mason, in terms of bringing a guy like Bruce Irvin to this team?
Well, I mean, the thing that was interesting is when he was with the Seahawks for a while, then he bounced around a little bit, right? I mean, he was on the Raiders, and then he was on, he had a cup of coffee with, who was it? The Atlanta. He was there for a year, and then he ends up back on the Seahawks at some point. He actually did relatively well with the Panthers. I mean, he had 8.5 sacks and 16 QB hits. Then he went home, and like you said, week 2 and an ACL tear. He's 13 months removed from that, so he should be at least able to do some stuff for you. It's not necessarily that I'm like excited by the move. It's interesting. I mean, it's something that I'm gonna be looking for, and it's something that ultimately could definitely help, because we've seen over the last couple of games that pass rush has been almost non-existent for the Bears. And then when you see the pass rush is non-existent, then the weakness of the secondary is very much exposed. It is a defense that is predicated on that pass rush. So like, if you were going to add somebody who was going to make who's available, that makes the most sense. But like you're alluding to, it also shows Khalil Mack's probably further away than we think he is. Now the Bears could have been looking at this like, well, great, we'll get Mack back in a week or two, because right, they lost Atachu, so they needed another person there anyway. But you know, am I excited? I'm interested. Am I excited? I'm not expecting anything grand. I don't think he's going to go out there and get like 2 sacks.
No, and well, I kind of in the same line as you, Mason, there. I will say this, like, the Bears have brought in free agents officers like Alec Ogletree, and you see, like, the impact he's had. Obviously, different position and different circumstances in terms of why they were brought here. But I wonder if also this is, like, a indication of what the Bears are maybe seeing or maybe not seeing out of Travis Gibson right now. Because, look, there's been opportunities when Khalil Mack went down. Hey, Travis Gibson, you're going to get these reps now. We haven't seen that production. We haven't seen the production really as frequently in terms of the pass rush. But, I mean, that's something to also maybe keep an eye on. Obviously, being a veteran, Bruce Irvin has been – knows how to rush the quarterback. We'll see at this stage of his career if he's still capable of that. But, you know, I just would like to see more out of Travis Gibson just because that was a guy that I think was up and coming. It was showing some flashes with the opportunities that he was getting on early – and sparingly throughout the season. Last kind of notes on just Bears topics. If you guys are on social media, you're on the Twitter there, you might have seen Tariq Cohen kind of going on a little tangent a little bit, kind of expressing his frustration of not playing. And Mason and I, before we went live, we were kind of talking about what that the Bears didn't do, like you said, Mason, Tariq Cohen any favors, because we don't have any update really on where he's at in terms of his health, or honestly, if he's even going to play this season. And, you know, he kind of let out his frustration through social media on Twitter today. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. And that's the thing. I feel like most people that I've seen on Twitter have been more questioning just, hey, where are you at, Tariq? Or when is he going to come back? Or, oh, imagine the impact that he could have if he played in, you know, like, you know, on in a game like this, versus it being too negative. But again, I'm not like living in his mentions to try to see and scouring through and seeing, you know, what everybody is saying. But like you just said, the Bears did him no service. There's no updates. We have no idea. There's all this speculation about, was there a second surgery? And this is what the Bears have just been doing forever. They don't tell you anything regarding injuries, right? Every once in a while, like a video pops up and that's the best I can do, trying to use my PTIs, be like, all right, well, it looks like there's like a cut that's not really that explosive off that leg, so it looks like there's going to take a little bit longer, this, that, and the other. And that's all you have to work with. Now, obviously, you're playing this chess game with other teams and all that stuff, but I mean, are the Ravens really sitting there being like, oh man, like, we really need to worry about Tariq Cohen and whether or not he's going to play? Oh, is radio silent? No, it's at some point update what's going on with your players. And I can see maybe where Tariq would get frustrated about that, because he can't play a game that he loves, right? I mean, it's been a good amount of time. And I said this back in the summer, I didn't think he was going to play until like week 12 at best. That's what I had noted. And at this point, you were right. I don't know if we're going to even see him this year. And that then there's a whole snowball effect. What does that look like for Ryan Pace? Because he handed out that contract to Tariq Cohen right before he got hurt. And then you weren't able to sign Allen Robinson because you're worried about the money and this. And it just goes and goes and goes. So it leaves an uncomfortable feeling in the air, a sour taste in your mouth.
No, it definitely does. And hey, I mean, you said week 12. We're at week 11. Who knows when Tariq Cohen, where he's at in terms of his status? But hey, I mean, you're closer than a lot of people were, Mason. So kudos to you. So, Mason, that's kind of like a quick synopsis of other Bears topics, takeaways that we want to hit on before we get into this Bears Ravens matchup. And so let's kind of just dive in into this and talk about that Bears offense going up against this Ravens defense. And I'm just going to kind of open up the floor, because it's been a week since we've seen the Bears play football. And like, the last thing we saw from them is Justin Fields took them down when they were down a little over 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter, drove them down to take the lead. And of course the defense kind of gives it up. But when we're looking at this Bears offense, Mason, in terms of talking points or things that we want to highlight about this Bears offense, what are you kind of wanting to see continue or to build off of from that Pittsburgh, especially that second half, really, into this another AFC North match or an AFC North opponent in the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday?
One of the biggest things is can Justin do Justin, right? And that's a very broad topic, and that has a lot of things to it. One, you want the It takes the Bears a long time, it feels like, to really get a feel for how the game flow is and to be like, oh, wait, dang it. We got Justin Fields at quarterback, so maybe we should do this a little different. You know, obviously you got a lot of you know, Bears fans who are clamoring for more rollouts, moving the pocket, all those things. And that's true. I think they could do more of it, but you can't do that every single play. Justin has to at some point drop back and just zip a pass. You know, he has to hit a quick slant route. He has to do these short passes. But can you create this momentum and use it in a way that you can actually set him up for success? And then there's the penalty stuff, right? We have no idea what that first drive, what it looks like last, well, 2 weeks ago against the Steelers, because it got stopped by penalties and they were on completions, right? So they could have marked down and scored and had it be in 7-0. And we'd be having maybe a very different conversation about this. So, and that goes to the coaching, right? Because how disciplined is your team and everything like that. But okay, so, and when you're talking about continuing what they did, so can you let Justin move the pocket a bit? Can you let him attack downfield? Because that was one of the biggest things, right? Those explosive plays, and you should be able to do that because, right, in the Ravens' three losses, their opponents have had 11 plays of more than 30 yards. This is definitely a team that you should be able to take advantage of that. And then in terms of, I don't know, the Wildcat was weird to me. Like, you have Justin Fields. It worked. They scored a touchdown off of it, but, like, why not let Justin essentially do the Wildcat? Because right now it doesn't seem like there's a lot of quarterback design runs. It's more of just Justin scrambling right when he has to. So why not just do that with him and get 4 or 5 yards right on his little scramble or handoff to Booney or handoff to Montgomery? But then you have the option also to pass out of it. But so Wildcat was interesting, but there's a reason also why no one really runs it anymore because it doesn't work consistently.
No, I mean, that's a good point. You mentioned a lot of good points there, Mason. One other thing that I kind of want to bring up, again, going back to the Bears and specifically Matt Nagy's teams out of the bye week, I think what we've seen consistently in that game following the bye week, what the offense has done is just committed turnovers in each of the losses. They've had two or more turnovers in each of those games and have kind of fallen behind early. And so if they're going to do that consistently, you're going to do that to Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, good luck. Even though this is a team, the Baltimore Ravens, that doesn't score a lot of points in the first quarter, if I have the stats for them, they're averaging 3 points in the first quarter. So I think the Bears actually might be in a good spot there because the Ravens are struggling at that point in the game. But that's something that we've seen, the penalties consistently from this Bears team, just coaching and not being lined up properly, but the lack of discipline as well coming out of that bye week and just turning the ball over. If you're doing that to Lamar Jackson, and I know that there's been some struggles here and there, and they've had somewhat duds in terms of games, but if you do that at home and give him more opportunities, you are honestly asking for, you know, just another butt whooping, to be completely honest, at Soldier Field. So they can't do that. But what I am curious to see with this Bears offense, Justin Fields, and, you know, what they can continue to do moving forward is just having Justin Fields continue to throw the ball deep. Right now, Lamar Jack, in terms of intended air yards between, you know, where the pass is intended to go, and Next Gen Stats has it all laid down, you're going to see the top two quarterbacks in the league on Sunday at Soldier Field in terms of that category in Lamar Jackson at number one, and Justin Fields right now is number two. So, and I think for Justin Fields, for this Bears offense, that's going to be the best case scenario to continue to see him develop as a passer, is to get him to make him do one of his best strengths, airing the ball out deep to his wide receivers. You saw him connect 2 weeks ago now, Marquise Goodwin, Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet, Allen Robinson. So you got Jimmy Graham got one of those explosive plays. So you're seeing him go stretch the field vertically. I think we need to continue to see that in these final 8 games of the regular season, and especially in this matchup against the Baltimore Ravens, who can put up points, and the best way to get points on the scoreboard, getting those chunk plays. So that's another aspect of the offense that I definitely want to see continue here. Anything else, Mason, in terms of the offensive just takeaways that we want to mention here in this segment?
So, and to add to what you said in terms of those turnovers, this does seem almost like a get right game with that, because right now the Ravens have a terrible turnover differential at -5. Like, they've only forced 7, but they've committed 12 themselves. So, you know, but a lot of times it seems like Justin in particular will have a turnover that's kind of, you know, really, really breaks your heart a little bit. But then when you look at them, they're not necessarily his fault. Like the one with against Steelers, Cameron Hayward, when he intercepted it, you know, that one was a little fluky. There's been a couple where it's bounced off receiver's hands, like, you know, at the couple weeks ago, bounced off Darnell Mooney's hands on that deep shot. Game was pretty much already over at that point, but still a hitch in the hands, Darnell. You probably need to catch that. So, like, can those be controlled? Can those be contained? Because you're right. If you all of a sudden are flipping the field and handing the ball to Lamar with 40 yards to go, that's a recipe for disaster. In terms of what else you want to see is, like you said, those seam routes. You know, we saw a couple of those in that Steelers game. It's fantastic. And you know what's hard? You can't run a seam route if you're running a hitch route. Surprising. But I'm sick. Like, why are the Bears still leading the league in hitch routes? Like, why do you need to gain 4 yards? And why are all four, sometimes five, your receivers running a dang hitch? It makes no sense. It's ultra conservative. It makes it very difficult. Like, when you have someone like Allen Robinson who doesn't create a lot of separation in the first place, to run a route like that, because now it's just a contested catch. Same thing with, you know, Cole Kmet. Yes, he's a big body, but why not you let him use the big body in with his wide catch radius? On a seam route, on a corner route, on a post corner, like Marquise Goodwin had a very almost not a catch, but a great catch a couple weeks ago. So, you know, just open it up at this point. You know, you need to, you can't be just protecting Justin this whole time. And clearly that's not how he wants to play. I mean, he wants to open it up. And that just builds off what you were saying there too.
Yeah, and I think it's funny with the hitch routes too. It's like the Bears wide receivers are not creating a lot of yards after catch. And I asked Matt Nagy about that a couple of weeks ago in terms of like how you would like to create yards after catch. Is it, you know, on short passes and have your receivers run, or however, maybe going deeper? I asked him how do we create explosive plays. And he said he wanted a combination of both. And, you know, the route of going short passes and having your wide receivers tight ends, you know, the offensive weapons get those yards after the catch. That hasn't happened at all really this season. And I know, you know, Matt Nagy was also asked about running back screens, and he kind of got some slack about, oh, it's an offensive lineman's best friend. And then all my comments were, well, why doesn't he freaking call them then? He gets two screens every season. It's like, why are you not helping out the offensive line? And he also said the details are really important in terms of running those screens. And we all know about the lack of details that seems to be in this offense sometimes. So that was kind of funny when I, you know, just again, quoted what he said. And I knew, you know, he's going to definitely get some slack for that.
Well, we keep saying, talking about the Bears in a get right game. The Ravens have not been tackling well. They have 74 missed tackles. You know, Patrick Queen, Tyus Bowser, and Chuck Clark have been really the biggest offenders of that. So if the Bears can take advantage and finally get some yards after catch, that'd be amazing. And while I would like A-Rob to play for the reasons we talked about at the top of the show, I saw Nicholas Jackson talking about like Daz Newsome. That would be really interesting. I would love to see what Daz Newsome could do in a game like this, because he was good at yards after catch in college. We saw glimpses of that when he did play after, you know, before the collarbone break, which is, you know, in training camp, take that with a grain of salt. But the little blips we did even see in preseason. So can he be someone that maybe gets called up? Because right now, Demir Bird's not doing anything. So can you give maybe Daz Newsome a little bit of a run?
That's a really good point. I mean, look, we haven't mentioned Demir Bird probably since training camp, like actual in meaningful conversations. And it's because he hasn't really been a part of this offense, really this team, to be completely honest. And at this point, like if Daz Newsome is up to date with the playbook, and I think that was kind of what he really talked about in a lot of his press conferences, like, I just need to know my playbook. Why not? Like, that's not going to hurt you. And I think that's the thing too. We talked about Tevin Jenkins and whether or not to play him. I think you can get away with playing a rookie wide receiver, and it's not going to really impact too much on Justin Fields' development. Because again, if he runs the wrong route, yes, and he's in anticipating for Newsome to be somewhere, yes, that can hurt. But I think you can get away with trying to give him reps and then also still developing him while they're still kind of learning things on the fly a little bit. But who knows? We haven't heard of Daz Newsome for a while now, but we'll see how that kind of goes. But Mason, I think that's kind of a wrap on this, these talking points for the offense. And we'll definitely hit on some more as we get into X factors and pivotal matchups. But before we kind of get into the defensive discussion, I have to tell you about our partnership with Owen. If you're like me, going to the gym is a crucial part of my schedule. It's a place to let loose and just decompress. And after a great workout, it's important to give your body the amino acids it needs to repair and rebuild proteins. And that's why I drink Owen. That's right, Owen, which stands for only what you need. Owen is a 100% plant-based protein company, and all their products are, well, plant-based, free of artificial ingredients, and are allergen-friendly. Plus, Owen uses high-quality and carefully selected ingredients to make all of its products easily digestible, like their dark chocolate protein shake that has 20 grams of protein, which I used to be my personal favorite, but now I got this guy. If you're watching on the podcast on YouTube, the Elite Pro 32 grams of protein, this one is awesome. Tastes really great. Get 32 grams of protein. So what's better than that? And I first heard about Owen from Chicago Bears quarterback Justin Fields, who follows a plant-based diet. Get 20% off your first purchase with code TCA20 at liveowen.com. That's O-W-Y-N. That's 20% off your first purchase at liveowen.com. And remember to use the code TCA20. When you do that, a little bit of that revenue comes back to us and help support the podcast. So we'd really appreciate that. So join me and Justin Fields and try Owen, only what you need. What's going on, you guys? This is Chicago Audible Podcast. I'm here with Mason West. We're about to talk about this Bears defense going into this Week 11 matchup against the Baltimore Ravens. And Mason, we could take this conversation a whole bunch of different places right now, but Lamar Jackson is on the other side of the field, and I don't care if you have Khalil. You can have the most healthy defense. They can be rolling in terms of production and limiting, you know, opposing offenses. But Lamar Jackson is different, and he's kind of like a unicorn, and that was a lot of the discussion really for the Bears media members when talking about Lamar Jackson and what he can potentially do against an opposing defense. So with the Bears in this, it's a tough matchup, and I don't care that they've struggled in the first quarter, only scoring 3 points a game. What, and I just want to ask you, what scares you the most when you think about Lamar Jackson, Baltimore Ravens offense, and going up against this Bears defense?
Well, what scares me in general is that he just keeps getting better, right? I mean, when coming out, people were trying to interview him and say, no, you're a receiver, you're a running back. And I mean, luckily he stuck to his guns and said, no, I'm a quarterback. Now, that first year was a little rough. You know, Joe Flacco got hurt relatively early on, and he probably got put in a little sooner than he wanted. And, you know, so it was hard fought, but he's cleaned it up significantly. He's much better passing now than he was before. He's reading defenses really well. And you throw on top that the run ability, it's fantastic, right? And he is the run game, right? I mean, he's got like, what, 400 more yards than the next running back that's there. The running backs, you know, as a whole, 4.2 yards per carry for the Ravens. It's not blowing you away, but it's definitely substantial. And that's best tied for the league lead with Cleveland in rushing yards per game at 154.1. And they're fifth in yards per carry as a whole, right, with 4.9. But it's kind of deceiving because four of the past six games, the Ravens haven't rushed for more than 115 yards, actually. And the yards per carry average, like I said, is elevated by Jackson a lot, who averages 6.0 yards per attempt on the year. They just caught Le'Veon Bell because he wasn't really doing anything. Latavius Murray doesn't scare you. Tyson Williams is averaging 5.5 yards per carry, but apparently he said something mean to Harbaugh and doesn't get to play anymore. And then Devonta Freeman is actually averaging 5.2 yards, which is great. But most of these guys would be waiver wire on the waiver wire if it wasn't for all the injuries that the Ravens had. So it starts and ends. That's a long way of saying it starts and ends with Lamar Jackson. And the receivers don't scare you. Rashad Bateman's good. He's solid. I think he's actually going to be a pretty good receiver down the road. Devin Duvernay is one of my sweethearts. I wish we had gotten him. I think Will actually also loved him too. Coming out, he's great in the punt return. And then Marquise Hollywood Brown. I mean, he's hurt half the time and drops the ball the other half and runs the wrong route the other half. So really, Mark Andrews is the next most stable piece you have. And so it's Mark Andrews, it's Lamar Jackson. Can you contain that? And they're built to play with a lead, which is the problem, is that they, as you said, they only scored 3 points, you know, in the first quarter on average right now. So how the heck can you be a running team if you can't play with the dang lead? So that's probably one of the reasons why they've been struggling against teams like the Lions, who they beat by 2 points, why they went to overtime with the Vikings, why, you know, they did come back somehow against the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's like the Ravens have been in a lot of close matchups and for the most part have come away with victories in those matchups. And that's what I look at what Lamar Jackson is capable of doing, extending plays. And, you know, that's why when you look at also where I mentioned that Justin Fields and Lamar Jackson are top in terms of intended air yards, they're also at the top in sacks this season, with Justin Fields having the most and Lamar Jackson right behind him. He will hold on to the ball, extend plays, and that offensive line, like, there are opportunities to get to him, but you need to have some type of pass rush. And that's one of the where I'm going to maybe take this conversation here, Mason, because when I was watching kind of what the Miami Dolphins were able to do to the Baltimore Ravens, there was a lot of blitzing, a lot of cover zero, a lot of, and this comes from Ted Nugent. Again, we've mentioned him before on this podcast because he is fantastic in terms of breaking down film. But after he watched the film, this is the kind of blitzes that the Miami Dolphins were able to use against the Baltimore Ravens. One's called a read blitz, and basically it's a pressure scheme in which a defender or multiple defenders read a key, commonly which way the center turns. So, you know, basically that would be Sam Mustafer, how he would turn to decide to blitz or drop into coverage if the team was obviously playing the Bears offense. And then there's a key blitz, and it's when a defender has a key to an offensive player, that player releases on a route, they'll cover him. If not, they'll block. If that key player blocks, they'll blitz. So there's a lot of that incorporated. And then there was just some overloading on some sides where, if for some reason, the Ravens right tackle, and I had his name written down in one of the six screens that are in front of me, which none of you can see, but it's escaped me, just seemed overwhelmed, where in terms of he didn't know who was coming. And look, the Dolphins did a good job of scheming up and disguising a little bit which guys were actually pressuring Lamar Jackson, which guys were dropping back in coverage. So I think there's going to be opportunities, Mason, to be completely honest, to rush Lamar Jackson. The other thing is actually bringing him down, and the other thing is actually applying pressure, which, you know, just like the Baltimore Ravens have had some missed tackles, hey, the Bears defense has had its fair share of those as well.
It really has. And I read that article too, and I loved what I saw. Two things bother me with it. One, NFL's a week-to-week league. You know, you learn, you adjust. So what are the chances that exactly is going to play out in the Bears' favor if they went that route? Number two would be that the Bears have the second lowest blitz percentage in the league at 16.2%, right? This is known with Vic Fangio when he was here, and then obviously as the Sean Desai being the disciple of that. I mean, you compare that to the Ravens, who have actually the third highest blitz percentage at 33.2%, so that'll be ultimately interesting on that side of the ball. But is that something that Sean Desai is comfortable doing, right? Is that something that – are you equipped to do it? Because you really have two options here. Either you're going to be blitzing hard and hoping your secondary can cover long enough for the blitz to get there, which, are you confident in the Bears secondary to get there? I don't know that I am. But the other option is that you are dropping back, right? You have maybe like a spy on Lamar, and then again, you're hoping your secondary can cover so that your four-man rush can get there. Either way, it's tough. And not just that, are you equipped on the defensive line to get after? We just listed all the injuries. Khalil Mack's probably not going to play. Akeem Hicks is still hurt. All this variety of things. So that's where someone like a Roquan Smith is going to be so, so important this game. And we've seen a couple of times. He's the rare times in that 16% where Roquan's been sent on a blitz that he's gotten home. It's been fantastic. Is that something that Sean Desai is going to be willing to do, to take one of your best players, send them on the blitz, and therefore you don't have him to cover a Mark Andrews, right? And so are you going to let Alec Ogletree, Danny Trevathan take that part of it? I love the idea of what happened within that Dolphins game. I don't know that Desai is equipped and that the Bears defense is equipped to do it.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that, Mason, because I have the stats there in terms of blitz percentage. And basically, and I don't want to go ahead too far here because I think we'll hit on this in the X factor, but I think it's going to be pivotal for how Sean Desai, how creative, that's how I'm going to put it. How creative can Sean Desai get in this game in terms of maybe even bringing like a DeAndre Houston Carson down at the line of scrimmage? I think, I forgot which game it was, but you had him occupy one of the offensive linemen. Khalil Mack gets a sack because of that quick creativity where you're bringing DBs down near the line of scrimmage. We need to see more of that. You need to confuse these offensive linemen. Like I was telling you, the right tackle for the Ravens, there were some blown plays because of what the Miami Dolphins were doing. But like you just said, the Bears don't blitz. They don't blitz very often. And like it's like a week-to-week league, it's also a copycat league. So will the Bears try to implement more of this blitzing on Lamar Jackson? Because it worked for the Miami Dolphins, but that doesn't necessarily, it's going to translate another week, you know, for the Chicago Bears at home this Sunday. So it's going to be interesting how they kind of play that out. But Sean Desai, this is going to be the most challenging game, because for any defense coordinator, Lamar Jackson is a freaking nightmare. He is a freaking nightmare. So what will Sean Desai do on Sunday to put whoever's out there? And most likely you might be without, there's a good chance you're going to not have Khalil Mack. Akeem Hicks is not trending in the right direction at play. Maybe you get Eddie Jackson. He, you know, I think what limited, I think I read earlier from the injury report. So it's not looking like you're going to have your best defenders out there, and you're going up against a guy that's, you know, in contention to win MVP every single season. Mason, is there, obviously there's probably other areas we can hit on for this Bears defense going up against the Baltimore Ravens offense, but is there anything else that you kind of wanted to touch on before we go into our X factors for this game?
The last thing I would say is I'm glad you brought up Eddie Jackson. Two things on that subject. One, his presence is going to be really important, because you brought up DeAndre Houston Carson. If Eddie Jackson can't go, now DeAndre has to, in theory, go right sub in for him back at safety. So you don't have that flexibility to use DeAndre as that chess piece to move around. So just Eddie being healthy enough just to be in is going to be huge in that respect. And also in and effective, because like you said, when Jackson does throw, he does tend to attack deep to some of those receivers. So having the ranginess of Jackson is important. The second thing I'd add to it is I do have a source relatively close to the Jackson situation saying that more than likely he will be playing. That's just based on today.
Dang. Well, you know, I was expecting it, but it was like seeing him out again. You're like, ooh. Look, I personally just want to see him play on some. We're going to be at Soldier Field, Mason, so I want to see Lamar Jackson and Justin Fields play. But yeah, that makes sense. So if you were hoping that Lamar Jackson was
going to Eddie Jackson.
Eddie Jackson. Sorry. Well, Eddie Jackson. I kind of want to see
Eddie. I don't know. Lamar's been sick like four times this week. Like, right? I don't know if he's just like not eating well and he needs his vitamins or something like that. Like that needs to get figured out, because literally he's just had illness like four times. Remember last year he had the whole like running to the bathroom thing like in the middle of the game. Like, you can't be MVP again if you keep like having, you know, just colds and flus and having to, you know, honestly poop yourself in the middle of like a Sunday night, Monday night game. I can't remember which one it was.
That was, I remember that, like see his little walk down the tunnel. It was hilarious, but I agree with that. You can't be pooping yourself on the field and then going out winning MVPs. If you are, then that's why Lamar Jackson is one of a kind. All right, let's go into our X factors in this portion of the segment.
You don't want to ask about special teams? I had stats.
Oh crap, I forgot that's a phase. Yes, what do you got on special teams, Mason? Because clearly I have nothing.
Okay, just two quick things. One, like I said, one of my draft sweethearts a couple years ago was Devin Duvernay. He currently leads the league with 293 punt yards and, more importantly, an average punt return of 16.3. In general, the first half, the Bears have punted a lot. So therefore, it's important to keep that in mind in terms of changing position. And then looking at Jakeem Grant, obviously it's been a love or hate with him. He's third in the league with kick return yards. Some would argue that it's just because he does it a lot. But at the same time, he also, his average kick return yards is 24.6, which is fifth in the league. So, you know, he is returning the ball. I mean, if he's returning it from deep in the end zone, that doesn't put you at the 25 like you would if you did a touchback. But it certainly is something to keep in mind, that at least he's aggressive and he's not allergic to the ball like Ted Ginn Jr. and some of the previous kick return or punt returners we've had here.
I like it, Mason. I mean, look, it is going to be a factor, because it feels like, you know, and look, the Bears scored a touchdown special teams, what, last time we saw him play. So definitely got to keep mindful of that. And I don't know how the weather's going to be on Sunday. I really haven't looked that too far in advance, but how it's going right now, it's probably not trending in the right direction. So let's talk about these X factors, and we'll start our X factor on offense. I was going to allude to it earlier in the show, but I'm glad I held off on it. I think the X factor in this game, and you touched on the stat there, Mason, the Baltimore Ravens are third in the league in terms of blitz percentage. And an area where Justin Fields has struggled is against when defenses are bringing that pressure. Right now, looking at Pro Football Focus and the stats that they kind of have there, you have right now Justin Fields, where you're looking under pressure. He has one touchdown and four of his interceptions. And I think when you look, and obviously when you look everywhere else, keep where the pocket's kept clean, where he's rolling out or where he's not blitzed, those stats are a lot higher in his favor. And so we saw what kind of happened in Cleveland and that dysfunction and inept offense. And really the Cleveland Browns didn't even have to bring extra pressure. They were just doing it with their front four edge rushers. So it's the X factor on offense really is one. It's going to be how Bill Lazor, Matt Nagy have schemed their game plan to go against a team that's going to bring pressure. No, regardless, they're going to bring pressure. They're going to test Justin Fields to see if he can read his hot routes, to see if he can identify where to go with the ball when the Bears don't have enough people to block. And yes, there's going to be max protection used throughout the game, but you can't do it every single time. And there's going to be opportunities in this game where Justin Fields has to show that progress in terms of where to go with the ball. And that's going to be the X factor. If he's able to mitigate the damage that the Baltimore Ravens can do when they blitz, and they haven't sacked the quarterback all too much this season, but still it's that pressure that can disrupt plays, that can lead to incompletions, turnovers, all that bad stuff that the Bears want to avoid. So the X factor in offense for me is how this Bears offense, Justin Fields, Matt Nagy, Bill Lazor, what they've schemed up this week to go against this Baltimore Ravens defense that loves to apply pressure. What's your X factor, Mason?
On offense, my X factor, and actually Cliff stole my thunder over there in the chat. Can the Bears manage the penalties, right, that turn second and short into a second and long, ultimately leading to a third and long? The penalties that, you know, it's third and six, and now all of a sudden you line up in the neutral zone. Now you give the Ravens a third and short, and Lamar just runs it. The ones where it's third and 16, and they have to bomb the ball, but it's a pass interference because you can't play solid defense, and now all of a sudden they have a new set of downs, and all of a sudden are in your territory. You know, and put aside the Steelers game. Like, forget it. It's over. Moving on. Nothing's going to happen there in terms of, like, anything changing with that. And best case, they'll talk about in the summer. All they can worry about is what they can control, right? What they can do with that. Robert Quinn lining off sides, you know, on the two times in a row, right, in the neutral zone. You're a veteran. You shouldn't do that once, let alone twice in a row. Things like that. So, you know, do you have the discipline to be able to control that aspect?
Okay. Yeah. No, it's been a problem for the Bears. And until they show otherwise that they are a disciplined football team, that should be on the mind for every single Bears fan, every single play, because it seems consistent. Like, the Bears have to lead the league in terms of personal fouls. Even like Angelo Blackson got one 2 weeks ago. It was declined because, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers center also committed a personal foul, but they're constantly doing it. 15 yards for Lamar Jackson in this offense. Stop. Like, you want bad things to happen if you're doing those stupid fouls. And if Mario Edwards Jr. gets another personal foul, I don't know what I'm gonna do, Mason. Probably maybe get animated in the press box like everyone else does when they see it. There's like I think the last time I was like, it's like a collective, like, oh,
it's
heavy, you know?
Sigh. Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah. it's kind of funny because you know it says no cheering in the press box. I guess that's the opposite of cheering, but it's just, are you serious? All right, hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully we're not talking about that in the post-game show on Sunday. Let's go over to the defense. I'm going to go throw it right back to you, Mason. What's your X factor there?
Don't need to spend a lot of time on that one. I mean, we've been saying this. It's, can the Bears limit Lamar Jackson, turn him from Action Jackson into Saxon Jackson by getting after him, right? Could bring him to the ground, force those third and longs. And at the end of the day, like, make him pass. I mean, that's nothing against Lamar. I just would prefer to see him throw over run. He just is just a dynamic, explosive, majestic runner. And the receivers for the Ravens are okay. They're not fantastic. So I'd much rather see them have to throw the ball and have to play from behind. Because like we said, a lot of times they're built to play with the lead. That's just the way that their offense is designed.
I like the word majestic. I think, did I call him a unicorn? One of a kind. Like, that's just Lamar Jackson. Those are the adjectives you use when you describe Lamar Jackson. My X factor on defense is the exact same thing that I had for the offense. Can the Bears defense apply pressure despite them being second to last in the league in terms of blitz percentage? But that's the area where Lamar Jackson looks like I was going to say everybody else. No, not everybody else. Looks somewhat normal. Under pressure this season, 5 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. When blitz, 3 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. So you're seeing those turnover-worthy types of plays and the defense capitalizing on them when the defense is able to apply pressure. Whether or not we highlighted the issues with that for this Bears defense, can they do that? I guess we're going to have to wait and see. But look, Sean Desai, the Bears don't like to blitz. And what we saw, the recipe for possible success was against the Miami Dolphins. They brought it heavily. Let's see what Sean Desai can scheme up here in terms of a game plan. Again, it all revolves around Lamar Jackson and trying to stop him the best they can. All right, Mason, we have a couple more segments left. And I swear I put in my notes where our fun new segment was at, but I guess not. Are we doing pivotal matchup and no, then?
No, we're doing backbreaking matchup, then who has the edge, and then we'll do the fun one.
Man, where did I put? Oh, I see it. Okay, I didn't scroll down far enough there, and that's on me. Okay, so backbreaking matchup and pivotal matchup, however you want to phrase this. Mason, I'm going to let you choose. Which one do you want?
I'm going to go on defense because I don't think you'll have this one.
Okay.
I'm saying it's going to be Kendall Vildor versus Rashad Bateman. This is assuming that Marquise Brown's playing, and let's just assume that they're not, you know, having Jalen Johnson shadow anyone in particular. I just think that Bateman's got this nice combination of crisp route running, but also explosiveness. Obviously, he didn't start the year. He had, I believe, it was a core injury for most of the year, and he's come on the last couple of games, helped my fantasy team, and he's been really putting it together. He's becoming a target for Lamar Jackson, you know, taking away some of those throws from Mark Andrews. So I think that one is going to be this might be a game that Bateman all of a sudden breaks out a little bit, especially if he's going against Kendall Vildor.
And that would be really unfortunate because it seems like everybody's going off on Kendall Vildor as of late and, you know, putting Kendall Vildor on their highlight reel there. So hopefully that's not the case. And I actually, that's the guy I was thinking of, Kendall Vildor, and you can put any wide receiver right now as a pivotal matchup backbreaker. But I have Calais Campbell against Sam Mustipher right in the interior of the offense. And you know what? You can put James Daniels, Cody Whitehair, who I think has been a little inconsistent this season as that matchup as well. But Calais Campbell can cause some problems. You know, we kind of saw what Cameron Hayward was able to do a couple weeks ago. Vita Vea, like these premier top interior guys. And, you know, the Bears are going to see a pretty good one on Sunday in Calais Campbell. And Sam Mustipher has left more to be desired out of the position right now. And I think we're kind of seeing more and more that the Bears are probably going to need to upgrade there in the future at some point. But that's going to be my pivotal matchup because Justin Fields, I think, can step up in the pocket, roll out to avoid edge pressure. But, man, it's a lot tougher to do when that interior pressure is coming right up the middle and, you know, Justin Fields has to make a split-second decision where to throw the ball, just go down for a sack, take the hit. So a lot of things are problems when you have that interior pressure. So I have Calais Campbell going against Sam Mustipher as my pivotal matchup. All right. Now we'll go to who has the edge, because that's the layout in the show notes that I can clearly see in front of me now. So we're going to start off the Bears rushing attack versus the Ravens rushing defense. And Mason, I'm giving this one to you because I think we didn't really talk too much about the Bears rushing attack, you know, in the offensive portion. So who do you have winning this matchup?
Well, definitely the Ravens rushing defense is better than their passing defense has been. But I feel like one of the reasons we didn't talk about it is almost because it's like, it's just the Bears rushing offense is just good. Like, it's just one of those things where week in and week out, it's just more or less consistently been there. Yes, there's a week or two, there was a little blip. Obviously, you had Montgomery go out, but even when he was out, you had Khalil Herbert that stepped up. And then when they came back, David Montgomery, it's like he never really lost a step and he was right back in there doing what he did, besides, you know, the penalties that I think held that back a lot. So for me, I'm going to give it to the Bears rushing offense. For whatever reason, the Bears offensive line, you know, it looks like they're on steroids when they're run blocking. And then it's like they're, you know, in the old folks home when they're pass blocking. So they create rushing lanes. Dave Montgomery is so shifty. And then you can, if you want to, flip it over to Khalil Herbert, who you don't really lose very much when you do flip it over to him. And the Ravens, they also have their own injuries that they're worrying about on the defensive side of the ball, and they're not necessarily the great. They're okay. They are okay at rushing defense.
No, that's a good way of putting it. They are okay, and maybe, hopefully the Bears don't make them seem better on Sunday. I have the Bears passing offense versus the Ravens pass defense. You know, I'm factoring in all the blitzes that are going to be in there in terms of what Justin Fields in this offense can do downfield. Like, I have confidence that Justin Fields can make the throws and identify where to go with the football. I'm just a little worried of if he's going to have the time to do so in terms of what the Ravens like to do. And I know, again, they don't have the full stats of like how many sacks they have, but it's not very much. And I can probably, from 19 sacks this season, only 9 teams have fewer sacks than them right now, but it's pressure. So I'm actually going to give this one to the Ravens defense, because I'm factoring in that the blitz percentage and the frequency that I think that's going to happen on Sunday. Next is the Bears run defense versus the Baltimore Ravens run offense. And, you know, Mason, I'll give this one to you, because I think there's a couple of factors that go into this one as well.
It's a weird scenario where this is normally what we talk about for the Bears and Justin's ability to run. It's like, oh, we have to factor that in. And obviously you have to do the same thing for the Ravens, if not more so. Right. And a quick aside also, stop comparing Justin Fields and Lamar Jackson. They are two entirely different quarterbacks. Basically, the only reason that they're the same is A, they play quarterback, B, they're athletic in their own way, and C, also they happen to be black. Okay, let's just not put them all in the same damn category. They're quite different. Justin runs when he has to run and has a much better arm than Lamar did when he came in as a rookie, and arguably has a better arm and better accuracy on the deep ball now. And you can't compare what Lamar does on the ground. Done off my soapbox. Anyway, back to the thing. For this one, I'm going to ultimately say that I'm going to give it to the Ravens just because of how dynamic Lamar is. I almost think of the running backs as an afterthought. It's like, great, they're there. They're going to get you chunk yards. Devonta Freeman actually was doing decently well. He's probably the only running back I'd actually be concerned with, I guess, if there's a word there. But then when you throw Lamar Jackson in there, it's just like every pass play can become a run play. They do so well, and that's what I think Bears fans have been asking for in terms of running that option. Like, they're formations are interesting, right? You'll have like 3 running backs back there, and they'll fake it one way, fake the other, and all of a sudden Lamar's going to the left, and just kidding, now he's going to throw it to the right. I mean, it's really backyard football in a way, and it's really fun, because literally it's like I remember running plays like that, because like everyone wanted to touch the ball and you weren't sure who you were going to give it to. But unfortunately, you do have to give it to the Ravens on that.
I was going to do the same thing there, Mason. It's just tough when Lamar Jackson is a part of the equation. And I think right now he's 7th or 6th in the league in rushing. And that's with obviously the running backs of the league. It's just tough. And obviously he can pass the ball. So it makes it a very difficult matchup for the Bears. So I have the Bears passing defense versus that Ravens passing offense. And look, the Ravens would like to throw the ball deep. They haven't had a lot of explosive plays this season, which is, it's a little surprising. They haven't had a lot of explosive plays, but they, like I said, it's Justin Fields with intended air yards and Lamar Jackson as a top two. So they're looking to push the ball downfield. You highlighted the one matchup right now, Mason, that I'm really, really worried about, and Kendall Vildor and whoever's going to be over there. Look, I know Hollywood Brown has dropped a lot of passes this season, but it's actually he's dropped wide open ones. We saw the game in Detroit. So it's not that he can't do it, but you give him a guy that many opportunities to be wide open, and I think that could potentially happen, especially if there's no Eddie Jackson. DeAndre Houston Carson has to keep continuing playing. Kendall Vildor still out there on an island with whoever they want to put out there. There's going to be opportunities, I think, and having to be cognizant of Lamar Jackson's running ability, you have to keep eyes on him. And, you know, obviously if receivers streaking down the field and there's that in between, if it's an RPO, you can get caught sometimes as a defender. So I'm going to give it to the Ravens passing attack on this one. All right, Mason, now I'm just going to hand it off to you before I screw this up. Let's do it.
All right. So this segment, which name changes every single week because I can't think of one that's good for the entirety of it. So we're just going to make it different. Is Nick going to bear down or is he going to rave about the Ravens is what this week is. Remember some of the rules. We're not taking injuries into concern here. Basically, I'm going to give rapid fire. We're going to give Nick a player from the Bears, player from the Ravens. They might be similar positions, but they may not be the exact same position. Keep that in mind. And who would he rather just have on the team? Like, who would he pick? Just gut reaction, right? We're not looking at scheme or anything like that, just quality of player. All right, so we're going to do offense, defense, and then actually a little bit of special teams, surprisingly enough. All right, you ready, Nick?
Let's do it.
Allen Robinson, Marquise Brown.
I'll go Allen Robinson on this one.
Darnell Mooney, Sammy Watkins.
We'll go Darnell Mooney.
Allen Robinson versus Rashad Bateman.
I like Rashad Bateman a lot, but I'm still going Robinson on this one.
J.K. Dobbins, Khalil Herbert.
Oh man, these are tough. I'm going to be biased on this. So I'm going Khalil Herbert.
Patrick Ricard versus Jimmy Graham and or J.P. Holtz. I put them together.
Ooh. Man, I don't know why I have a soft spot for J.P. Holtz. It's been there forever. But I'll go Jimmy Graham, J.P. Holtz.
Mark Andrews, Cole Kmet.
No, I'll go Mark Andrews.
Alejandro Villanueva versus Tevin Jenkins.
Villanueva at this point. I'm going with Tevin Jenkins. I need to see what this guy's about.
Villanueva versus Jason Peters.
No, never get a long save line. I'll go Villanueva, though.
Ronnie Stanley versus Borum.
I'll go Stanley.
Stanley versus Jenkins.
I'll go Jenkins.
And Kevin Zeitler versus James Daniels.
I got to go with my guy, James Daniels.
I threw that one in there just for you specifically.
Okay, good.
The only one that I would – actually, there were two I'd be interested in. One would be – people might be confused. I put the Patrick Ricard one in there versus the J.P. Holtz just Graham combo because for the most part, Graham's been kind of used as a blocker. He's got a couple passes, catches now, and then Holtz has been pretty much only playing essentially fullback. And it's interesting. You watch how the Ravens use Ricard. They use him kind of like in that Kyle Juszczyk-y role that they do with the 49ers, where he motions a lot, he blocks, he catches out of the backfield, he'll get handoffs. So he's actually like a pretty dynamic fullback when you actually look at it. So that's the reason I put that in there. And I was surprised that you did go with Herbert over Dobbins.
Yeah, me too. But look, I think Herbert showed you so much in such limited time. The sky's only going to – I think the trajectory for him is only up, right? And I think if the Bears are weighing Dave Montgomery in the future or Khalil Herbert, I think – and you back me up. Khalil Herbert's shown you what he can do. Now, Mason, is that it for offense?
That's it for offense.
All right. Justin Fields, Lamar Jackson.
I didn't want to do that one. I thought that was going to just make – I didn't want to put you in that spot.
Well, no, I'm going to put you in the spot first, and then you can throw it back to me. But in the chat, too, Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields. What are you picking?
Justin Fields, QB1. That's my quarterback. I think his ceiling is so high. I mean, obviously, I'm maybe drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit, wrapped up in the moment, but – when you look at what he can do, I think Lamar Jackson, while we use unicorn, majestic, dynamic, that at the end of the day, it's still a heavy passing league. And maybe he's limited by, some of the weapons and stuff around him. But I think that Justin Fields can ultimately get to that point where he's like a Patrick Mahomes before the last year and a half, because he's been kind of rough. He can get to, what Kyler Murray is able to do this year, things like that. And I just don't know that Jackson will ever fully be there.
Well, I'm taking Lamar Jackson. I'm taking Lamar Jackson. I will definitely put that out there. I mean, a guy that's only 24 years old, I think he's improving. And he's already won an MVP, and he wasn't at his best, I think, form of being as a passer yet. So I still think there's more that we can see out of Lamar Jackson. But I have all of the confidence in Justin Fields and what kind of player he's going to be. But if you're giving me the option of those two right now, I'm going to take Lamar Jackson.
That is totally fair. And like I said, I'm probably thinking more with my heart than my gut. but I can't not pick QB one.
I completely understand.
All right, defensive side of the ball. Akeem Hicks, Calais Campbell.
I knew this one was going to be like the first one. Long sigh. I'll go Akeem Hicks.
Bilal Nichols versus Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell.
Okay. Justin Houston versus Travis Gibson.
Man, that's a guy that we didn't mention above, but Justin Houston can still rush the quarterback. I'm taking Houston.
Jalen Johnson versus Marcus Peters.
I'm going Jalen Johnson. I'm going Jalen, and I sound hesitant with that. I'm going Jalen Johnson on this one.
Kendall Vildor versus Marcus Peters.
I'm taking Marcus Peters.
I hope so. Kendall Vildor versus Marlon Humphrey.
I'm taking Marlon Humphrey.
I thought so as well. Patrick Queen versus Roquan Smith.
I'm taking Roquan Smith.
Josh Bynes versus Alec Ogletree.
I'll go Alec Ogletree just because I know more about Ogletree at this point right now.
And then Josh Bynes versus Danny Trevathan.
Now I'll go Bynes.
And that's the thing that was interesting. I was struggling to come up with too many defensive ones that were close because the Ravens defense, especially, it's not the Ravens. It's not your grandfather's Ravens, right? They have a couple of people that are cool. You know, Marcus Peters, Marlon Humphrey's solid, Patrick Queen's a baller, Calais Campbell. But then outside of those four, it's like, oh, okay. Now, like, well, are there safeties that much better than what the Bears currently have? Is their corner two that much better? Are their edges that much better? And the answer is kind of like, not really.
Yeah, no, it's a different defense that obviously we've been accustomed to seeing from Baltimore for sure. Isn't Pernell McPhee on the team?
He is. It's funny. I was listening to another podcast today, and they brought up Pernell McPhee mainly because they use a lot of his sound bites and stuff. And the Athletic writer who is guest starring on it was like, yeah, Pernell's there more as a leader than actually playing just because he's so broken down at this point. But that he's there, you know, he's like their third, fourth rusher.
Okay. Yeah. He went through injuries when he was in Chicago. So
12 years, I think. I think this is year 12 for him.
Wow. It's so long ago, but there you go. Maybe we'll see a Pernell McPhee sighting at Soldier Field on Sunday.
All right. Little mini, only two of them for special teams. Make it quick. Jakeem Grant versus Devin Duvernay.
Oh, man. I'll go Devin Duvernay.
And Justin Tucker versus Cairo Santos.
I'm going to go with arguably the best kicker ever in Justin Tucker.
And that's, I mean, yeah, it's not just that he's the best ever in terms of percentage and stuff, but how he does it, right? We talked and alluded to how the Ravens barely beat the Lions, and it was because Tucker could hit a 66-yard field goal, and Cairo Santos had a chance to do that 2 weeks ago, and he couldn't. So Justin Tucker, man. I mean, here's another question. Here, okay, if you knew, let's say, 5 years ago, like what Justin Tucker was, like you do have that, and for some reason the Ravens were like, give us a first round pick and you can have Justin Tucker. Would you give up a first round draft pick for Justin Tucker?
Yes, he's reliable, but
how automatic, no matter, you're making almost every kick, you don't have to worry about the kicks anymore. You can make a 66-yard field goal if you need to.
No, I'm not doing it. It was intriguing to think about for the 10 seconds I thought about it. And knowing the Bears, they'd waste their first round draft pick, and it probably would have been better off by going with Justin Tucker, someone that's reliable, consistent, and it's going to go down in the Hall of Fame. It's the best one. So actually, I don't think it's that crazy of a conversation. I know it's probably no in the comments for now, but you think about it. I mean, the Bears have just blanked on first round draft picks.
Well, and Justin, that's the thing. I would consider it almost because what most GMs say, like first round picks are about 50-50 anyway. And like, if it turns out to be like no offense to him, but a Kevin White scenario, that was what your first round pick was going to be. And you knew that your kicking position was set for the next 10 years or whatever the scenario would be, like, you gotta consider that.
Yeah, I would think so. In the comments, yeah, it was Oakland. Yeah, that would. I forgot how high they drafted. What was it? Was it Janikowski or no? Or was it?
Yeah,
something? No,
I think Janikowski was the first round pick, right? Yeah, for Oakland.
That's nuts. That's crazy. Just to even put that into, I don't know, just to really even think about it. But that's an interesting question for sure.
All right, let's move on. That's all I got for it. It seems like for the most part, Nick was bearing down. He did not rave too much about the Ravens.
Except when it came to Lamar Jackson versus Justin Fields, which I know, but it's a great segment and it gets everyone involved. So I'm always looking forward to the players that you have for me to consider and how much of an ass I can make out of myself when I pick them.
It's always fun. It's tough setting them up sometimes because it's like, oh man, like I really love this player, but I know I love him because it's a Bear, and like there's no reason they should be compared to it. The opposite side of the football. So it's like, we'll skip that one.
I get you. All right, Mace, you got some over and unders for us now?
I do. Okay. So a couple different over unders this week. These are not our famous BetUS ones. These are off my dumb brain. So bear with me on this one. All right. Over under 215.5 passing yards for Justin Fields.
215. I will go over on that mark just by a little bit though.
Yeah, I was thinking like 225, 230 maybe is what Justin would end up with. And this is assuming they're building off of last week. The Ravens are giving up, the most, I think, passing yards in the league right now. So if it's going to happen any week, it's probably this week. Over-under, 6.0 rush yards per attempt for Lamar Jackson. So average yards per carry.
6.0, I don't. What is he averaging right now? It doesn't matter. Like when he gets out, there's usually big plays happening. I will go over that 6.0 mark for rushing yards per attempt for Lamar Jackson.
So I picked that number because he is averaging exactly 6.0 for the year. Okay. So I'm going to say under. I think this will be one of the weeks that John Desai has to put his mark on the Bears and determine, like, you know, can I scheme against a player, a specific player? And, you know, well, can he do the Bill Belichick thing? I'm going to take away your best player. And I think he can do that.
We'll see.
All right. Over under 5 carries for Khalil Herbert.
Ooh, good one. I'm going to go over on Khalil Herbert and the carries. Not by much. I'll go around like 7.
I'm going to say over as well. I do it with trepidation because he actually had 4 against the Steelers. So it's not like like Nat Matnagy said, Montgomery is the workhorse. So if they stick to that, it might be tough to get to that 5 mark. Over under 2.5 sacks for the Bears.
They haven't shown that they can get to the pass rusher as of late, and Lamar Jackson's elusive. Yes, he's been sacked a lot this season, but I'm going to go under on that mark. You're bringing in Bruce Irvin. I think there's a reason for that. So you need help from the pass rush. I don't know if he's going to provide that, so I'm going to go under.
I was saying over, and the reason I did that is because, A, the Ravens get sacked a lot. You know, Saxon Jackson is an action. B, because when you think about – and we've seen this a couple times even with Fields where Jackson might go to scramble and just get tripped up right, like the one, right? And so now all of a sudden that's technically a sack. They haven't crossed that line of scrimmage because you can't determine, was that a run play? Was it a pass play? Like, you're sticking with it being a pass, and so therefore it's a sack. And I think they might, you know, get one and a half sacks out of even just that specific scenario. We're flipping it. Over under 2.5 sacks for the Ravens.
I'm going to go over on that number. Very similar to what you were kind of just saying about Jackson for Fields, but also add in, like, they love the blitz, and I think there's going to be a couple that hit home.
Yeah, I would unfortunately say over. With Calais Campbell clogging up the middle, doing what he does against Sam Musser, who's been struggling, with Whitehair, who has been okay currently this year, same thing with Daniels. And then when you send the pressure like they do, is Fields able to identify the pressure and you actually get the assignments how you want them to? It might be tough because they use some exotic blitzes too, you know, especially on third down. Third down is tough to get past the Ravens on. So there's a good chance of that, unfortunately, it's going to be on the over. And last one I have for you, over under 0.5 interceptions for the Bears. Basically, can they just get a pick?
No, they can't. you would love them to see that happen, but it just has not, for some reason, whether it's just players just not capitalizing on plays, not being in the right position. The Bears have not created many of those interceptions since the Cincinnati game, where it came all in consecutive defensive plays, it seemed like. So I'm going to go no, unfortunately, for that one.
I had yes on it. I had one. I for some reason I just have a Eddie Jackson feel for this game that he'll finally get that much sought after pick. There have been times where Jackson has kind of thrown some balls up there for grabs and he hasn't been penalized for it too much. Why not this week?
I like it, Mason. Hopefully, we see number 30 or not. Wait, whoa. I was going to say 39. He's number 4. What am I thinking? Eddie Jackson. So that's how you know I don't. Well, no, he hasn't made many plays out there, but hopefully you see him healthier, not healthy. I don't think he's going to be completely healthy, but healthy enough to play and to be effective in this game if he can't go. All right, Mason, we're kind of trickling down to the final segments portions of this podcast, and we're going to our bold prediction for this Week 11 matchup, Bears-Ravens. And I know you always have two. What do you got?
All right, bold prediction on offense, and this is, if you pay attention to the Bears, this is bold. Cole Kmet catches a touchdown.
Whoa, hey, calm down there, Mason. A touchdown. Yeah, it's
crazy to think about. And then on defense, the Bears blitz percentage for the game is over 20%.
And I mean, where would that? Oh, I think I have the stats where that would put them actually, because they are second to last. And if they were at 20%, that would put them where the Tennessee Titans are at 20.3. So 32, 31, 30, 29, 38, 37, 30. They'd be around 25th in the league at the 20% blitz percentage mark, according to Pro Football Reference. So that'd be a jump for sure.
Yeah, that's it's. I was thinking of it being bold simply because it's only a 4% jump for them, about, you know, 16-20. But that would also be saying, okay, Sean Desai, change who you are as a play caller to go up 4%, which is a good chunk of plays. And we're not exactly sure if we haven't seen Desai really do that. It seems like he's kind of done. While he's done some cool exotic things at times in terms of the pass rush and stuff like that, the base defense and the and what they really, their identity has more or less been the same, right? And but so this would change their identity by even going up just up to 20%.
That's a good point. And is Sean Desai willing to do that? And should he be willing to do that to put his team in the best possible chance to win? All right, bold prediction for me. I have both, and this is bold. Obviously, it doesn't, I think, correlate to some of the over and unders, but Lamar Jackson and Justin Fields both go for over 100 yards rushing and end the game with a rushing touchdown each. I don't even remember if we had an over and under on like Fields rushing yard, but if we did, I obviously it probably blew it out of the way, but over 100 yards rushing for both of these quarterbacks in this game.
That is really bold. And can you imagine what the highlight reel is going to be on SportsCenter the next day if that happens? Jeez.
They're just going to have side-by-sides of the Fields and Jackson just running all over the place, which would be fun to watch because those two guys are electric if they get into the open field and just get to use their pure athleticism in terms of making guys miss and just getting yards, honestly. So that would be a lot of fun. I know we're supposed to have a not-so-bold prediction. Along with forgetting where we're at in the show notes, I always forget to put those. Mason, do you have any not so bold predictions?
I have two of them, so you can just assume one of them was yours. Here, just take one. All right. On offense, not so bold, Justin has more passing yards than Lamar Jackson by the end of the game. Definitely one could see that happening. And on defense, defense gets 2 sacks on Lamar Jackson. You look at the numbers, right? 2.8 sacks per game on the year, but the Bears have only had 1.3 over the last 3 games, so it's dipped down with Khalil Mack going out. Maybe Bruce Irvin will be able to play and give you like a little something. You know, he's had 13 months of rehab and rest, real coming off fresh. But in just in general, also the Ravens give up a lot of sacks, so 2 is not outlandish, as we've discussed.
Yeah, no, I like it, and I will take credit for one of those. Whichever one you don't want, Mason, I'll just take.
Whichever one comes right. True, you can have.
Okay, I'll take that. I will take that. All right, we are going to predict the MVP for this Week 11 matchup. Do you want to go first, Mason, or should I go first?
You can go first.
Okay, I'll just say Justin Fields. That's like every single week it's Justin Fields, but I think just in terms of who he is, what he showed now 2 weeks ago against the Pittsburgh Steelers, even if the game plan isn't quite what you'd want it to be from the Bears, I think you're still going to see the flashes and honestly show that he might not be the best player on the field this time because we talked about Lamar Jackson so much, but he's going to be a reason why I think the Bears are going to be in this game. And I won't say anymore because we're obviously going to give our game pick in a little bit, but I'm going to go with Justin Fields.
I'm going to go the other side of the ball. We just spent, what, an hour and 18 minutes raving about Lamar Jackson and everything he can do. So if the Bears win, it's got to be someone that's going to stop Lamar Jackson, and that's got to be Roquan Smith. Whether you are bringing him on the blitz, whether you're having him just do a spy, doing a contain, whether you're having him, you know, defend Mark Andrews, you know, we see him all the time. He starts on one hash and ends up somehow making the tackle on the other, clear other side of the field. This is the reason the Bears drafted a guy like Roquan Smith, right? To be able to combat players like Lamar Jackson. Cliff picked Roquan too. Jeez. Yeah. If this isn't a Roquan game, like, you know, you put the stamp on, this is one of the reasons why he got picked to be an all pro this year, you know, this, that, and the other, then I don't know what other game would be.
This is going to, I think, you know, this is going to highlight all the attributes, the skills, just everything that makes Roquan Smith special. It would be this game because Lamar Jackson is going to test you on every single play, and so we'll see if Roquan Smith is up for that challenge. All right, we've been talking about this for an hour and 20 minutes. What, I don't know where time went, and I don't want to keep this going any longer than maybe it should have been. But Mason, when you look at it, everything that's going on, who do you have winning this game?
So under Jim Harbaugh, the Ravens are 7-20 against rookie QBs. Lamar Jackson is 6-0 against rookie QBs. You talked about and wrote a great article talking about how terrible the Bears are out of the bye. Not just the bye, but also if you look at extended breaks, right? But all that being said, streaks are meant to be broken for a reason. You know, if there's a game that really puts Roquan Smith on the map, if there's a game that gets Justin going in terms of running the ball, in terms of passing the ball, we talked about how terrible the Ravens have been against the pass. Right. If there's a game that's going to happen, it's this game. I have the Bears winning 27-21.
Mason, I think I told you before we went live, like, I didn't fill out this portion of my notes. And there's a template here. So I don't have, at this moment, even a game pick. But we've talked about this for over an hour. You gave a great reason why the Bears can come out victorious against the Baltimore Ravens. Those streaks are there. And, man, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm going the Baltimore Ravens 27, the Bears 24. I think I said this earlier. The Ravens have found ways to win these really close matchups. They just have. And they've been, for the most part, on the winning end of those games. So I'm giving it to the Baltimore Ravens 27-24. But, again, it's one of those matchups where I think we'll have the moral victory at the end where hopefully we can say Justin Fields went toe to toe with Lamar Jackson. And once the team gets better, maybe the end result, the win and loss column will change moving forward. But let's go to confidence now. So, I mean, you sound, you know, I think good about your pick there, Mason. What number would you give?
I'm actually going to give it a 6.5, which is one of the higher numbers I've had over the last couple of weeks. That's definitely the highest I've had in the last 3 weeks. There's something weird with the Ravens, right? I mean, if you look at some of their games this year, they lost to the Raiders by six in overtime. They squeaked one out against the Chiefs. They barely beat the Lions by two. They beat, but not that bad, the Broncos. They barely beat the Colts, who are just limping around in overtime. You skip the Chargers game because that was a weird outlier. The Bengals trashed the Ravens. The Ravens had to beat the Vikings in overtime, and then the Ravens lost to the Dolphins. They have the smallest win differential. It's like 1.6 in terms of that point differential. It's not that big. If the Bears can get ahead, which obviously the Bears struggle with too, but they've actually been able to score on their first drives a good amount this year. They really have a chance to win this game, you know, and just let Justin be Justin, let it all hang loose. Right. And then if Sean Desai is the guy we think he is, he should be able to not stop because it's impossible, but at least contain Lamar in a way and make him use the tools that he's not as comfortable using.
I like it, Mason. So I'm actually going to go a 6 in my confidence meter being for the Baltimore Ravens. Like you mentioned, this team is not, like, they've been more dominant in the past, for sure. Their record indicates that. The close games indicate that. And the Bears, maybe this is just one of those games where things do actually translate over from what they were doing offensively, and they start off faster. And we mentioned it. The Ravens scored 3 points in the first quarter, what they're averaging. You get that rushing attack going. Keep Lamar Jackson off the field. Like, this could set up for, you know, stranger things have happened. Last time the Bears and Ravens played, there's a tornado at Soldier Field. So who knows what's going to happen?
And the Bears won that game, just saying.
And the Bears won that game. I remember I was in my freshman year at the University of Iowa, and I had the worst flu whatsoever. Like, I remember just laying in bed. I had to move. It was like a bunk bed type of thing. We did it to save space, but I had to move my mattress down the floor because I physically couldn't get up there, and I thought I was just going to vomit every time I got up there. So I remember watching it, seeing the Bears win, just a little fist bump, and then probably just hurled right after that. But crazier things have happened, but I'm still giving it a 6 in my confidence meter for the Ravens to ultimately come out with the victory in this game. All right, Mason, we've talked a lot. We talked a lot about this Bears-Ravens matchup on Sunday, and, you know, we'll both be at Soldier Field to kind of cover the game there. So I'm looking forward to it. Any last kind of thoughts on this matchup or anything in general?
Like you said, we went over a lot of it. It's all, and keep in mind what it's about. And I say this almost every podcast, so apologize if I sound like a broken record for chat, for those listening, you know, to the podcast. Keep in mind what it's about, right? It's about progression. It's about Justin getting better. It's about seeing the young, you know, what does Darnell Mooney do? Does Jalen Johnson get better? Does Kendall Vildor maybe all of a sudden flip a switch? Or is that something you have to look forward to in the future? What is Tevin Jenkins going to look like when he eventually, if he ever does get in, when he does get in, all those things? How does Larry Borum do? I mean, he held up great against two of the better pass rushers in the league, and that should continue. The final score is more or less irrelevant. I'm never going to sit there and hope the Bears lose. I'm not going to sit there rooting for that. I mean, when Cairo Santos went to kick that one against the Steelers, you know, I was pacing around hoping they would make it. But at the same time, you know, it's like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, this is the rare time where the moral victories actually do matter. So be happy if you see that progression.
And the big word, if you see that progression, if it's a loss, Justin Fields look bad, then just let it all out. But hopefully that's not the case. I just want to say thank you to everybody that tuned in on the live chat here, who watched on YouTube, who will listen and download this podcast on their way to work tomorrow and just listen prior to Sunday's matchup against the Baltimore Ravens. Again, make sure you're following Mason on Twitter at WestSportsPT. Give him a follow on Twitter. We need to get those follows up. You can follow myself at Nicholas Moriano. And make sure, if you're not already, click the bell notification, get notifications on YouTube whenever we go live. And also to follow us on Twitter, Facebook. And, you know, our Instagram can use a few more followers here or there, even though I don't post enough. But, again, we appreciate everything you guys do to support this podcast. But I'm calling it. And until next time, bear down, Chicago.